Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Board of Adjustment meeting for the City of Bettendorf for February 11th, 2020. It's our first meeting of the year. Roll call, please.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Here.
Tom Burks?
Yes.
The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board that's appointed by the mayor, and there are certain items in the statutes and in the ordinances that come properly before us. Tonight we have two special use permits before us, and oftentimes we have a request for an adjustment on an ordinance. So this might be an opportune time to say that it is a five-member board, but since our last meeting we've received a resignation from Chris Clements, who has been a member of the board, and so at the present time there's only four of us. I want to thank her for her contribution to the Board of Adjustment and to the City of Bettendorf and to its citizens. Sorry to see her leave the board, and we'll be looking for a replacement for her. The next item is the board to review and approve the minutes of the last meeting, which was October 8th, 2020. You all have received copies of those minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections?
No.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. The next item is the Board of Review to review our year in review, I guess you'd call it, Board of Adjustment annual report. Does staff have any comments about the report or anything?
Just a couple. First, it's not my first year. It's my first 6 months, so I was only here for half of this. But I did appreciate the work I got to do with you, although a couple of those months we didn't meet. It's a pretty flat trend on both variances and special use permits. With COVID, hard to know if there's any meaning in these numbers. I would expect them to probably be down more than they were. It's really comparative to 17, 18, and 19. 2016 appears to be an outlier. We had 33 cases. So interesting that hasn't reoccurred. But otherwise, mainly a flat year on both special use and variances. There's really not a lot of detail in that data that I think is meaningful. It kind of is what it is.
Does anybody on the board have any questions?
No.
Do we like entertain a motion to approve and submit the place the report on file? Would that be appropriate? I guess it would be. So I'll entertain a motion to accept the report and to place it on file.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Same sign. Then hearing none, the report's approved. The next item, since it's our first meeting, we have to elect officers. Normally, I think we have we call them a chairman and a vice chair for whatever reason. That's what we've been doing. So I'll open open for nominations for chairman of the Board of Adjustment.
I'll make the motion that Bob stays in his position.
Second.
There'll be no discussion.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
More than any other nomination.
I think we've already passed the motion.
Hearing none, I guess I'll ask for a vote on the nomination.
Are you abstaining, Bob?
All those in favor, I'll abstain.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. How about for vice chair?
I think I was elected last year.
Yes, you were. Would you like to stand again?
I'm happy to stay on as vice chair.
I would entertain a motion to nominate her as the vice chair.
I'll make the motion to keep Gwen as vice chair.
I will happily second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, now to the business at hand, I guess. Case number 21004, which is 1040 State Street. It's a C3. It's a special use permit to allow a bar in a C3 district. It's submitted by Edgebrook Homes, LLC. Staff report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Yeah, your introduction was great. 1040 State Street, this is an existing brewery that occupies the north three quarters, a little more rough math there, of that building. They want to add to their brewery a tap room slash bar that would require a special use permit from this board. I feel like I'm getting a little bit of feedback, so I'm just going to keep moving the mic away from you. That brewery is going to have about 1,000 square feet of customer service area. That was included in your packet, that breakout. Is the audio okay for you guys?
Yeah.
Mm. Sure. And so that's shown here by their developer, Edgebrook Homes LLC. The landlord does own the entire building, so it's Eulala, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Enterprises, owns the entire building. They actually occupy a portion of it in the TMI warehouse section here on the west end. And then they have other leases, again, with Adventurous Brewery. There's a tobacco outlet, Johnson Controls, which is kind of a mechanical provider, if you will, service provider. And that's what's in this section. Now, there's an adjoining lot that is also owned by the same landlord that has a salon and a veterinary clinic in it, and I'll get to that as well. The attached lease in your packet allows for 30 parking spaces to serve the brewery and the potential tap room or bar. Code requires just 23, so they would be over. Just based on that lease document, they would be overparked. Here's a larger site view. Again, you had the kind of drawn in dimensions before with the different users. So that's what's in here in the top corner. The other two users on this site, again, multiple sites, one owner here, one landlord. And I think that's an important issue. So one leasing agent controlling all of this property that you see on your screen and all the parking lots that you see on your screen. Roughly half of this building is divided between salon and veterinary clinic. The veterinary clinic build-out is going on right now as we speak. I think you have about 57 striped spaces to serve all users. And there's what I call 19 other spaces. And those 19 other spaces are provided in areas like this lockup yard that you see here. I'll clear that so you can see it better. The lockup yard, there are parking bays on these units as well. So when you add all those parking bays in, the lockup yard, you get around 19 additional spaces for a total of 76. This would be overparked. There would be enough parking. I think that's the biggest concern we have when improving bars in an area of this nature, is just to make sure we have the parking on site. Staff thinks it meets and exceeds code, to be honest with you. Additional off-street parking could be achieved, not on this roadway, of course, but there is an alley with some parking pads directly behind the building. In fact, I think you can see in this photo one car that is occupying that space. Again, that's not really in the calculation because that's on-street parking, in my opinion, but being fairly critical in my analysis, I think the parking is available. I would note that similar cases have been passed by this board recently, one in a C7 and two in a C3. Sometimes those had outdoor service area. This does not include an outdoor service area. If they wanted to do that, they would have to come back to this board and request that special use, which we would have to redo our analysis on. So staff's report is only on the indoor 1,000 square foot customer service area of the bar. It is a 9-part test defined by code, and I don't want to elaborate too much, but as staff, as we review that 9-part test that is included in your packet, we can answer in the affirmative, on the approval side, if you will, to all of those. I would point out that this is a transitioning area. With our downtown master plan, you're going to probably see us move from what was an industrial downtown for many, many years to more of a nightlife downtown. I think that fits within our master plan and our comprehensive plan as well. Those are 2 points staff would make in our recommendation for approval. The nature of a already age-restricted business on the site with the tobacco outlet, to me, and I think to staff, would indicate that you already have a similar character in this neighborhood. Couple conditions, our standard condition, this would not approve or allow any waiver of any federal, state, or other law. And as I already said, the applicant would have to seek permission for an outdoor service area. This would not be included in today's review. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions. I do have additional photos if you would like to see them. I didn't know how in-depth you wanted to go, but I do have 360 photos of the site if you would be interested to see those. I would note that at about 4:30 today, I met with the gentleman and lady behind me, Mr. Borkhart and Ms. Wysocki. They do object and have a letter here that they provided to staff, and I think it's also on the dais as well.
Can you tell me what a lock box yard is? Or
a lockup yard? It's a construction term of art. A lockup yard is where a business might keep their business trucks, their work trucks for the night. They put them in a lockup yard. The again, since the landlord is the one of the tenants at the TMI warehouse, he's indicated that he would use the lockup yard to park his vehicles and to make more evening parking available for the tenant. And so it's been a pretty positive relationship between landlord and tenant in that regard as far as making accessibility of the parking. And so the lockup yard is here. You know, that would not be available to anybody but TMI warehouse or the landlord. So it's not really public parking, but it does give him a place to put his business vehicles, which would use some of the parking.
What are the hours at the tobacco shop, Mark? Are they currently open at nighttime?
I don't know how late they're open. I have gone in.
10 p.m.
Thank you.
Yeah, that may be true. I've been in there and walked the property, but I don't know their hours.
Okay. Thank you.
What are the hours that this brewery can be open? I don't.
On their liquor license, I don't know what's permitted under their license. They don't have a liquor license approved yet because, of course, they haven't received permission. That would be something I would have to follow up on, but I don't know. Michelle Spencer is our licensed person, and I just don't do those.
I would assume it'd be similar to the other breweries in town.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're going to look at, you know, mainly evening hours, you know, after work to evening hours. Right now, the brewery, as I visited it, is only open for public, just entry up to the brewery itself, a couple days a week. So this is a new business that's kind of ramping up and building clientele. So it's not very busy right now. I'm sure they would like to have it be more busy. So I don't think a two-day a week is operation that's going to continue. I'd imagine 5 days a week or 7 days a week. And I say, if you're interested in more of the geography and the layout, I do have additional pictures I can put up on the screen.
Anybody want to see any more pictures right now? Or? No. Okay. Okay. Anyone wish to speak in favor of this application? I don't see too many people in the audience there. How about if anybody wants to speak opposed to it? I think they have. Yes, sir. Would you like to? Would you do me a favor and go to that the way in the back at the lectern there? Only because that's where the microphone is. Not trying to kick it in the rear of the building.
Is it on? Okay.
Yeah, it's on. Go ahead and state your name and then explain your concerns. We did get a letter from you, which I appreciate.
Yeah, good evening. My name is James Borchard. And basically, I'm going to, I believe each of you got a copy of this, so I'm going to just kind of, you know, go through it. I didn't get a chance to give this to you earlier. So I'm Jim Borchard, and I own the property at 1031 Grant Street, which is directly behind the 1040 State Street. And I'll show you on the pictures where that is. The garage is literally directly behind it. My sister Joan Wysocki, who is here, she currently lives there, and she's lived there for more than 20 years. We both object to the zoning board approving this, and here's why we believe that you should not approve this. It was said earlier that this is an area bordering on residential, so you have the commercial directly in front of a whole number of residents, of which ours is one of them. So the current business at 1041 State Street, which is the brewing company, and other businesses on both sides of them are open during regular daytime business hours and don't have any significant nighttime activities. So you kind of alluded to or asked what times there were. So the point of me saying that is currently, you know, we've lived with these businesses and, you know, we understand that they come and go during the day, but they don't have appreciable activities at nighttime nor on weekends. So what we believe is that changing the brewery to a bar would significantly increase the activities, the nighttime activities, into early morning hour and on weekends. So it's going to extend activities at night into the early morning hours and even on weekends. The attached photo number one, and I, sorry for the cover of it, or the how clear it is, shows my property and where my sister lives, and it's directly across the alley from the bar and their loading docks, and that's my sister's backyard, and her bedroom is literally 100 feet from their back door. So the quietness, the tranquility of having stuff in your backyard in the evening is going to be impacted by it. Trying to sleep if the hours go until, I believe the other bars are, you know, 2 a.m. in the morning. So it would be disruptive to not only us, but all of the other residents along this alleyway. Photo number two shows the loading dock doors of 1040 State Street on the left, and my sister's residence and garage on the right. So you can see I put in 1031 there, and you can see how close they are. And it also shows how narrow the alley is, and the problem in the wintertime when there is snow. They don't have a place to pile them, so they just push it off to the side, so you end up with just a very narrow track, which reduces any potential parking, like in my sister's backyard. She has a garage, but she also pulls it, you know, behind her, you know, her yard. With the snow, you can't do that. So any additional traffic, especially at night, is going to adversely affect her ability to park and everybody else. Photo number three is, now this is from a Google that shows the same white truck parked at the loading dock at 1041, and its front bumper protrudes into the alley. So any activity, any trucks, any delivery larger than or even with a pickup truck ends up poking into the alley and thus reducing even more, restricting more of the travel into the along the alley. Now again, currently they only do it during the daytime, so you know it's annoying, but it's not a problem. If they end up doing it early morning or late hours, it's going to create even a larger problem. Photo number four. Now these are sort of the same overview that Mr. Hunt showed. I estimated that the parking was 50 cars, and I basically took the three cars that were there and multiplied it by how much other space was there. But my point is that with 50, there's going to be quite a few people in that place, and he said 70, so it's even going to be greater. And if, you know, everybody knows what goes on in bars, you know, noise, music, people coming and going constantly. And while it's in the front of the building, I don't know if there's going to be an exit or potentially they could go out and back, but if they need additional parking, where are they going to park? They're going to go around the back and park in the alley, which is going to create a, you know, another problem. And, you know, so as I say, we believe that the noise from these bars would be horrendous into the nighttime and early hours. Patrons would consider using the back alley for overflow parking and other kinds of unsavory activity, which we all know goes on in, you know, parking lots of bars. So number five shows that my sister's house at 1031 Grant Street is directly across the alley from 1040 State Street. So you can see where the garage is and the building and the narrow. So the summary that I have is that we asked the members of the zoning board to deny the request to change the Adventures and Brewing into a bar, which will create nighttime and into early morning hour and weekend noise and make the current flow of alley parking problems even worse. And then I added, P.S., other residents in adjacent to my sister's home has many seniors and elderly people ranging in age from 60 to 85, which we believe would the increase in noise and other disturbance would lower their quality of life. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission?
I have questions about the building, but not to the gentleman.
Anyone else wish to speak opposed to the application? Ma'am? No? Okay. What do we have any additional questions for staff from the commission?
So those overhead doors that we have pictures of, that's the back of where the brewery is going to be.
That's correct. That's the back of the brewery.
That is the back of the brewery.
Yep.
That they're currently using to take beer somewhere.
Yep, it's their delivery entrance, those type of things. It's the back of the brewery. Now, the brewery has proposed future roll-up doors for the front of the brewery, which is kind of a new commercial trend that's going on. And so not to confuse those two points, but that would not be a point of delivery in the front.
But that delivery would still go on after the bar is open. They would still use the back to...
Yes, I believe the building would function the same. You know, product would move in and out the back of the brewery. Customers would be at the front on what in this map is up south, I guess.
So the bar is completely in the front of the building.
That is correct.
And that's where the access will be.
That is correct.
And as of right now, the back will remain the distillery, but unless there's tours. But the tap, I guess what I'm getting at is the back of the building going to still function as a daytime operation, and the front of the building is going to be the bar, and it's not going to mix those two?
Right. In fact, they can't. They can't mix the two. They have to have the separation of space between the manufacturing center, which is the brewery, and the public retail area. We would not want customers coming through just willy-nilly at their own will, going through the manufacturing area. It's a food production area.
Well, but I do know some of the other ones offer tours.
They do, but those are scheduled, right? Those are not something that's done as a open access to the public.
Okay.
So you wouldn't have public parking.
There is definitely a divide between the back of the building.
Yep.
Do we know the back of the building will remain with those hours they're operating now? To his point, is that those are still going to be daytime hours?
I would assume so. I did not ask that question of the petitioner.
Because, I mean, I can obviously acknowledge the concern of the noise in the alley if it was nighttime and if those were flung open and that would ends up being an overflow from the bar, but you're saying that can't happen.
No, the way it's constructed here is that the front of the bar is in this area. You know, this is the customer area. The State Street side is just above that, and then the bar area, the employee area, is there. So you're not going to have people transitioning into the production area of the facility.
So access for the bar will be only on the State Street entrance?
Yep, the customer entrance is in the front, yeah.
So So with that knowledge, is there still a concern about traffic, or, you know, if there's not going to be public access from the alley, and it's still going to be operated the way it's operated, is that still a concern because all of the activity is on the front of the building on State Street?
We still have a concern because, as we all know, while you may plan parking in the front, if it's St. Patrick's Day or something where, you know, things are really festive, people are still going to come and they're going to find some place to park if the front parking lot is full. And the only place, the way it's constructed because of State Street and et cetera, would be behind it, and then they would just literally walk around. So while it admittedly it would not be on a routine basis that there would be any reason why people would park in the alley as long as they had parking in the front, but on special occasions and maybe weekends, I don't know how popular this is going to be. One possible consideration for the city is if you could, you know, maybe post the alley and say no parking between, I don't know, some reasonable time and weekends, so that, you know, the residents have, you know, that it would be illegal for people to park back there after a certain period of time or on weekends. Might be a possible solution to that.
I guess staff's not sure that parking is allowed in the alley at all. I don't think parking in the alley right away is allowed at all.
No.
So the only parking that is in the alley is actually there's private parking pads that the employees use on private property that are posted as such. Again, in my research, I would also point out to the board that the entire area is actually zoned commercial, including the homes that are being spoken of. So this is a commercially zoned area.
So the brewery itself is planned to be 1,700 square feet, is that correct?
Yes, and we net out the parking requirements based on the customer service area.
Yep.
So that's a roughly 1,000 square feet customer service area. Yes, sir.
Okay. And the other businesses are primarily closed at that time?
They would be, yeah. You have a salon and a veterinarian's office that are daytime operations. The tobacco outlet may have some later hours, as we discussed. I don't know how late they are.
Right.
But that would be the only one.
That entire parking field would be primarily available for?
Yes, at nighttime. After 5 o'clock hours, you're going to have a closed TMI warehouse, closed Johnson Controls, and then the brewery, and then on the other side, the separate building that we talked about, a closed salon and a closed veterinarian's office.
What would be the typical parking requirement for 1,000 square feet of service area?
I believe it's...
10?
I got those numbers here. I brought those with me. I thought they might come up. So the brewery, based on our code, the brewery requires 20 spots, and their lease gives them 30. And then you have the calculation for the manufacturing area, or the warehouse brewery manufacturing area, is three additional. So that gets you to 23 total for those two businesses combined, if you looked at them as one, and the lease is obligating 30 to them.
But in reality, there's some 70 available.
That's correct, sir. Plus, there's also interior parking. Because they have the roll-up doors, they could actually park an employee car inside the building.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions?
Can I make?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
We realize that, you know, the city is interested in growth and development and looking for businesses, and we appreciate that. So I guess we accept that there's a low probability of you actually denying this. So I guess our main objective is to try to address our concerns, and one of them is the noise aspect of it. Now, given the configuration, and I hadn't seen this, assuming you approve this, if they did some, I'll call it specialized noise dampening, like double drywall or something at the back end of it. So if, in other words, you know, a lot of drywall will stop a lot of noise. So if there's a barrier between it, then the noise will stay to the front and not go out the back of the building. So that would be a way of addressing our concern of, you know, late evening night noise. So I'll just kind of throw that out as you think about the configuration. And I guess we didn't realize that the tap room was only going to be in the front, so there would be an opportunity to create, you know, a physical sound barrier between the front and the back, which would stop the noise from coming out the back.
That's a good suggestion. Unfortunately, we don't have the applicant here to respond to it, so puts us in a little bit of a bind. But
that's a big, but that is a really big space for sound to travel through.
Yeah.
And if it's full of those, if it's like any other brewery I've ever been in, it's full of really big equipment that is going to absorb a lot of that. And I just was doing a quick search, and like two other breweries that are in town, their closing time is 10 o'clock. One is 10 o'clock and one is 11, but that's just on the weekends. And the other one is 9 and 10. So it's not as if, so that's just a sampling of like two other breweries in Bettendorf. They are not open until 2 a.m. I'm not out at 2 a.m., but I'm just looking at their hours of operation.
That's the tap room too?
Like I'm talking about, there's two other breweries, one's on Devil's Glen and one's up on 53rd, and they have operating hours. They have their own, you know, manufacturing facilities and a tap room, and they're only open till 10.
And that's Crawford, I believe.
Crawford is one in five.
They close at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. And 9 o'clock during the week sometimes.
If that's what they're going to do, then that would be, and if you can hold them to that.
Well, like Brent said, we don't know because they haven't gotten their liquor license yet.
They
so,
have not.
But I'm assuming that.
And that would be a good argument because all of the other ones close at 10 o'clock.
I would think that, they would probably follow a similar suit. Would be my.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Good.
Well, and they don't have an outdoor permit, so
right. They do not.
It's only indoor. It's at the front of the building. And the other half, an entire half of the building separates the front and, you know, the alley. So, you know, to Mary's point, I'm not sure the noise is going to travel. And you're assuming there's going to be bands and music, which right now not everybody has. So, you know, I don't know if Crawford has it at all, I'll tell you the truth. And so at least the tap rooms I've seen doesn't have music, so a lot of TVs and, but yeah.
Any other questions? Anybody want to make a motion? Excuse me.
Sure, I'll make the motion to approve case number 21-004 for the special use permit to allow a bar in the C3 district.
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call vote.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Tom Burks?
Yes.
Next case is 21-005. It's 905 Middle Road. It's C2. It's special use permit to allow a bar in a C2 district, submitted by Amber Brainerd. Brainerd, I guess. Staff comments, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, kind of a similar case tonight. This is a C3 district is what I have in my notes. Let me double check that. I'm sorry, that is a C2. You're correct, sir.
Okay.
This proposed bar will be located nearly centered in this complex here. If you're familiar with the fairly prominent coffee retailer on this corner that many of you have probably been to, has the drive-through. all of these lots have cross easements for parking, so I want to point that out right away. But around a 1,600 square foot bar, netting out, again, roughly 1,000 square feet, I think, in our parking calculations for customer service area. Lots 1 and 2 here, and there's a PDF that I'm going to bring up, but I have to zoom in to get that to show. So bear with me. So if you can orient yourself here, here's the Starbucks, and here's the lot we're talking about. Roughly centered is the 905 Middle Road address in this lot one. Lots one and two, one owner of the property, have roughly 83 striped spaces. There are cross easements with the hotel just to the south, and that's another 144 spaces. So with that, very much overparked for this area. There is no request for outdoor service area. So with this case, again, we're only talking interior bar, interior service area. And let me show you back on this screen the hotel parking cross easement, which is this area here, which would be available to overflow parking from any of the users to the north there. Board has approved similar in the past, similar requests, one at a C7 and two at a C3, and just prior to this, honestly. Our 9-part test, I will go through with you briefly. We can't answer affirmatively to those questions. The nature of this area is pretty much hospitality and retail, and so adding a bar to that area would fit the nature of the development of the neighborhood, if you will. We do have the standard conditions as before, and I will note that we are not considering at this time allowance of any outdoor service area. With that, I would be glad to answer any questions.
Is the entrance to this bar on the Middle Road side?
It is, yep. They're all entered into this area right here.
Because Starbucks has that drive-through, which...
Yep. Yeah, and that actually adds to their...
life, we had trouble trying to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah, and that actually adds to their parking calculation. We actually gave them 7 stacking and counted those as 7 parking spaces because of that additional stacking. And given COVID, that's... parking's not really the issue anymore. So stacking into the car into drive lanes. Again, this bar won't have a drive-through, so that won't be an issue. But it does relieve some parking, just by the customer interaction is now mainly through cars instead of parking going into a Starbucks. So that probably provides some additional parking for this use. Prior tenant here was a sandwich shop, so lots of traffic. You know, would have had the same parking calculation for the sandwich shop as you would have had for the bar. So really, as from a parking standpoint, you're approving the same use. Staff's point to the nature of the neighborhood with the hospitality that's going on in that area, it seems to be a good fit. I'm sorry, I think I pointed to the wrong hotel. Here's the hotel overflow parking. Oh, excuse me. Here's the hotel overflow parking, 144 spaces. So you could easily transit, and there is a cross easement in your packet that's in place to park if you had additional, you know, the Super Bowl party, March Madness party, where maybe you had more people coming, you would have availability here. And unfortunately, our hotels have not been very busy due to COVID, so if you do a drive-through, there's lots of parking in the hotel lot. Yeah.
Any questions for staff from the board?
No.
Anyone wish to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, anyone wish to speak opposed? I don't see any there. So does anybody have any additional questions for staff at this point?
No.
About a motion to either approve or deny the application then?
I guess I'll do it again. Okay. I'll make the motion to approve case number 21-005. To allow the special use permit to allow a bar in a C2 district.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Humbergs?
Yes.
Okay, that passes then. And I think that's the end of the agenda. So do you have anything else for the that you want to talk about, Mark?
Oh, only that we will need to recruit another board member. And
yeah.
We're working on that. Staff's come up with a few ideas. If you have ideas you want to filter to me and I can get them in front of the city administrator and the mayor, I'd be glad to do that.
Okay. With that, I guess we stand adjourned. Thank you all for coming out.